This morning, we are once again hearing from the teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher, we think, is King Solomon. And Solomon has lived a great and wonderful life. He is one of the wisest people that has ever lived. And so he has written the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. And for those who are searching for meaning in life, Ecclesiastes really might strike a chord with you. Solomon has been reminding us all along this journey that there is nothing new under the sun here on this earth. And he's been reminding us that there are a lot of things that we strive for on this earth that are like vapor, they're like mist, they're just here today and gone tomorrow. If you live a life apart from God. Really what he's encouraging us to do is to, if we want a meaningful life, if we want our lives to matter and our lives to count, is for us to live our lives with God. And remember, he's writing this at the end of his life. And he's challenging us to remember that it's the end of our life. It's where we want to end up that really kind of matters most. And so if our whole duty is to worship and to know and to walk with and to be in awe of God and to keep God's commandments, then if we know that's where we want to end up, why not just do it all the time? Right? The story's told of a little boy who went to Sunday school, and his dad picked him up after Sunday school and asked him, "What did you learn today?" That's always a dicey question if you're a parent, right? And the little boy says, "Well, we learned about this really, really old guy. He was 365 years old, Dad. His name was Enoch." That's a weird name, Dad. You know, but Enoch was a good friend with God, and Enoch and God would go out for walks every day. And he said, at the end of one day, God looked at Enoch and just said, "You know, Enoch, we're closer to my house today than we are to yours. Why don't you come home with me?" And Enoch did. He said, "You know, Enoch never died, Dad. He just went home with God." Every day, you and I get to choose whether we're going to walk with God or not. Amen? It's a choice. We get to choose whether or not we're going to listen to God, be guided by God, be prompted by the Spirit or not. We get to make that choice. We get to choose, am I going to be closer to God's house today or am I going to be closer to my house today? Right? We get to choose that. We get to choose if we're going to come into God's presence or not. And today the teacher gives us some wisdom about how to do that, how to walk with God every day, how to grow closer to God, how to be more in God's presence. And so you might entitle the lesson today this, "Worship Under the Sun," meaning worship here on earth, right? What does it mean for us to worship under the sun? This is important for Solomon as he's coming to the end of his life and reflecting on his life. He's living his life backwards now. He's kind of reflecting on what has been, but he's inviting us to live our lives forward, to live our lives looking forward to the end, looking forward to where we want to be. And he's encouraging us to make that be what we are striving for. He wants to wake us up to the reality of life, but as he's waking us up, he wants us to enjoy life from the vantage point of God. Man, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? To be able to look at life and say, okay, I wonder how God is seeing this right now. I wonder what God is thinking about this right now. Because I don't know about you, but it's awful easy to kind of get stuck in my own pity party. Anybody have a pity party? once in a while, right? I mean, it's awful easy just to say, you know, well, from where I stand, this is how it needs to be done. I might have listened to a few people pontificating like that this week. You know, I'm not talking about my wife, really, seriously. I'm just saying, right? You've heard people say, you know, well, this is how they ought to do it, right? And then they do nothing. Well, that's not what Solomon's advice here is, right? Solomon is saying, you know, I want you to live your life forward, see it from God's vantage point, and then live into that. Do something about it. And Solomon in chapter 5 is saying it begins with worship. It begins with worship. And so here it is, Solomon saying, you can just kind of picture him just saying, okay, pull up a chair. Let me tell you a thing or two. I've lived life. I've lived good stuff and I've lived tough stuff. Let me tell you. Let me share some wisdom with you. And he might even have said this. This is the best piece of advice I can give you. Listen. Listen. Solomon is wanting us not only to listen to him right now, but he's wanting us to be able to listen to God when we come into God's presence, when we are praying, when we are reading scripture. Are we really listening, or are we looking for what we want to find and listening for what we want to hear? Now, I will admit my own failings in this, and you can just admit them quietly. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I maybe more than once or twice have gone through scriptures looking for a scripture that said what I wanted it to say. Right? I maybe have read a scripture once or twice saying, well, yeah, that's exactly what I thought God would tell me. And it was not even close. But I made it sound like it was. You ever? Well, I told you I wouldn't make you raise your hand. You know, but and maybe once in a while you have pulled a scripture completely out of context, but then that one sentence or those few words in that sentence say exactly your point of view, even though when you put them back into the context, that wasn't anything that they meant. Right? Solomon is saying, no, 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 no. Listen. Listen to what God's word says. Listen to what God is speaking to you. Listen. Don't spend so much time praying without listening. Listen to what God is saying back to you. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed and you've kind of timed the amount of time before you prayed something. So you just prayed and then you tried to be completely still for 5 minutes. It seemed like 5 hours, right? And your mind wandered and you chased other rabbits and you caught some rabbits. You even cooked some rabbits. I mean... It's hard to be silent before God, right? Because we haven't trained ourselves really to listen. Even when we're having conversations with other people, we are listening to them, and about halfway through their story, we're thinking of the story that we're going to tell, right? As we're listening to their concern or complaint, we're already halfway through. We've decided what the answer should be to them. Now, I won't have you look at anybody, but you know you've had conversations with people like that. And you know you're guilty too. Amen? And Solomon is saying, listen. Listen with your whole heart. Listen to God. And if you're really listening to God, then the headline of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, maybe the headline of all of Scripture might even be this: undivided God seeks undivided worshiper. Hmm. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is how many gods? One God. God wants our full worship. God doesn't want us to worship anything or anyone other than Him. Agreed? He wants our full devotion. He doesn't want us to be our God on Sunday, and then our God on Monday through Friday is work, and then our God on Saturday is play, and our God on the evening times is sleep or something else. He wants to be our God 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year, 365 days a year, including the leap year day. He wants it all, right? He wants our undivided attention. God desires all of us. And so Solomon in chapter 5, and we're going to get there in just a minute, Solomon is going to say to us, watch your step. As you're getting ready to worship, watch your step. I mean, this is the first piece of advice that he's telling us as we're thinking about how it is that we give God our undivided attention, how we bring our full selves into God's presence, is to watch our step. It's not about where we're going, even as we're watching our step. It's how are we going as we watch our step. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I stepped into that one? And it was because they weren't watching what they said or where they were going or what was going on around them, right? Here's what Solomon writes. He says, guard your steps. Watch your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Did you hear that? As you go to God, watch your step. Watch how you are approaching God. Watch what you're doing as you approach God. Pay attention. Don't approach God flippantly. Don't approach God with just kind of a, well, you know, we'll get by. You know, now all right, this is true confession time. All right, can you handle it this morning? Okay, so I've been preaching since I was 16, so that's a few sermons. Would you just agree with that? More than any one person needs to listen to me preach, let me tell you that. And there might have been a few sermons in there where I might have said, well, this is good enough. That is not good worship, amen? There might have been a time or two in there when I was not prayed up, I was not focused, I was not really attentive to what the Spirit was asking me to say or asking me to do. That is not good worship. Would you agree with that? There might be a Sunday or two, maybe whenever you've come to worship, when you weren't prayed up, you weren't really prepared, you were just coming because, well, it's the thing I got to do on Sunday, or, well, I got to do this to make someone happy, or, well, this is the right thing to do, but you really didn't have your whole heart into it, amen? And Solomon would say, watch your step. Watch your step. Don't come into God's presence flippantly. Don't come into God's presence if your heart isn't really there. Don't come into God's presence if you're not really ready to meet with Him yet. Don't come into God's presence if you don't want to really listen to Him. Don't come into God's presence if you don't really want to have anything to do with Him. Watch your step. Do what you do in worship on purpose, with preparation. Be attentive. Why? Because there is foolishness to be avoided, is what Paul is saying. That's the sacrifice of fools. There are all kinds of examples in Scripture where people kept the best for themselves instead of devoting it to God, and where people are just going through the motions and not really focusing on God. And here the rest of the advice in this passage, it says it's better to listen than to offer those kinds of sacrifices. The application for us is that when we gather for worship, watch your step. Watch how you're treating others. Watch how your hearts are focused. Are you listening to one another? Are you listening to and for God? Because worship is not just about our singing. And worship, I'll come down here so that you know I'm saying this. Worship is not about me. Just say those words. Worship is not about me. Now, if you leave today and you say, man, the sermon really sucked, or if you leave today and you say, well, I didn't get anything out of that, guess what? It's great if you worship God. Amen? Because it wasn't about what you got. Worship is intended for who? God. But we pick a church based upon how it makes us feel. Amen? We pick a church based on that rather than, man, that's a church that knows how to worship God. No, we pick a church saying, man, that was really meaningful to me. That's what Bible studies are made for. That's what small groups are for. Worship is for God. Oh, Solomon says, watch your step. Watch your step. We watch our step by how we prioritize worship. We watch our step by how we prioritize coming together, by how we prepare for worship, by how we lead in worship, by how we wrestle with the things in life so that we are ready to be present with God. We watch our step by praying for worship. That not praying for worship not only prepares my heart for worship, it prepares everybody else who's going to be there too. Amen? If you're watching your step and we're listening to God, here is what we hear and here is what we know God commands us to do. One God, the real God, commands us to love Him and love our neighbor. Amen? And these are intentional thoughts that we have as we are looking for something that pleases us. If we really want to please God, we follow what Jesus said. We follow what the writers of the New Testament said, that our God is a God of love. And others will know that we love God by how we love one another. I think that was in Scripture, right? I don't think I made that up. I think that's what our worship looks like, is how we love one another. That's how we let people know that we love God. We love God with our devotion in that kind of way. We show that we're listening when we obey what we hear, and that means that we love and we serve one another. Then Solomon says this, okay, as you're watching your step, watch your word. Don't say things you don't mean. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much busyness, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. In other words, keep your word. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? This, too, is a word throughout Scripture. This is a reminder of what God is looking for in us. And God is not looking for religious performance. God is looking for our hearts. Amen? Jesus tells us not to heap up all those religious words and prayers, that what God really wants from us are not our words and not our mouths. What God really wants from us is our hearts to actually seek Him. If we just go on and on and on, it offends God. Now, this would be where Ed would say, so John, wrap up the sermon. Don't keep going on and on and on. But it offends God. He doesn't want a people who draw near with their mouths and their lips, but their hearts are not near to Him. He wants a people whose hearts are near to Him. God listens to us not through a speaker or sound system. God listens to us through a stethoscope. He listens to our hearts. He listens to what's inside of us. So let your words be sincere, Solomon says. When you tell God that you will do something, what is that? Do it. Don't make promises you cannot keep or will not keep. The basis of our worship is not the promise that we make to God. The basis of our worship, why we worship God, is because of the promises that He's made to us and He's kept. Amen? We worship God because He made the promise to be our God. We worship God because He promised to be present with us through His Spirit and through His Son. We worship our God because of what He did through His Son Jesus. We worship God because of what He has done in our lives by forgiving us. We worship God because He has kept His word. That is why we worship God. His promises. Not our promises, His promises. For the reality of God is measured by the truthfulness of His speech, not by my grasp of His presence. Oh, think about that one for a minute. The truthfulness of God, the reality of God, is measured by His truthfulness, His kept promises. Not by my ability to understand all His mysteries. Not my ability to explain all those things. God is who God is, not because of who you and I say that He is, but because of what He has done. Amen? Jesus is who Jesus is because of what He has done. This is not dependent on what you and I say about Him. It's not even dependent upon what we think about Him. And then finally, how to worship. We stand in awe. If this is who God is, if God is holy, if God is merciful, if God is powerful, if God is loving, if God is forgiving, if God is all-powerful, if this is what God has done, and I know who I am. When I am in God's presence, I am in awe of what God has done. Agreed? I mean, if you think about, if you've ever been in the presence of someone who's kind of famous, and you've kind of watched people just kind of, kind of thing, God's got them in spades, amen? It's no passing moment. It's no, hey, can I have your autograph? It's, wow. Here I am with God. And I stand in awe of His presence. Then finally, what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 7, he says, for when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. An awe kind of fear. That fools will seek to advance themselves with their mouths and with their great dreams and with their vows. But when you and I come into the presence of God who sits on a throne of mercy and grace, when we come to a God who is both awesome and holy, merciful and loving, we come with reverence. We come like Moses came on Mount Sinai when he came to the burning bush. When Mount Moses came to Mount Sinai in the presence of the burning bush, and the bush spoke to him, and he knew that it was God, how did he stand in front of God? He took off his shoes, first of all, right? Because he was standing on holy ground. He was in awe of the God that was speaking to him in that moment. Watch your step. Take off your shoes. Come with reverence and awe. And Moses then has an encounter with God. We have to realize when we are coming into the presence of the holy, when we're coming into God's presence, that it's not just a bigger version of ourselves. It's not just a bigger understanding of what we think. That when we come, that we are coming into the presence of one who is holy, who is all powerful, and we will listen and obey. Isn't that what Moses did? We will listen and obey. Watch your step. Listen. Be prepared. And as we move to the end of this piece of how we are to live forward in chapter 7, we hear these words of encouragement. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. In other words, don't say, remember the good old days? We didn't think they were so good then. Wisdom is good, with an inheritance and advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God, who can make straight what he has made crooked. In the day of prosperity, be careful. In the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. In my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise, for why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. I think at the end of that long passage of Scripture, what Solomon is saying is this. Coming into God's presence, having a relationship with God, wanting to be with God, is a better way to live life than trying to run away from God, trying to hide from God, trying to escape from our past, trying to escape from our present. Better to live with God. Better to bring all of that into God's presence. Better to be sincere in how we're watching our step and entering into a relationship with God than trying to live life by ourselves. Solomon says, choose wisdom over escapism. Man, there are lots of ways we try to escape reality. Amen. We can get caught up in addictions. We can get caught up in just watching TV. We can get caught up in trying to remember the good old days. We can get caught up in imagining what we would do if we had $1 million. We can get caught up with imagining what would happen if we just picked a different set of friends. We could get caught up in, we can escape reality, right? Some of us escape reality by going to the movies. Some of us escape reality by eating food. Some of us escape reality by just dreaming dreams all the time and doing nothing. But escaping it doesn't resolve it, and it doesn't bring us closer to God. Solomon's saying, hey, come into God's presence. Come into God's presence, the real, one, true God. And do this. Never forget, it is God who controls the times and rules of the universe. It is God who allows us to know some things truly, but you cannot know all things completely. Some things will always be a mystery. But our God is known. How he works and why he does what he does may be a mystery to us. But our God is known. May we come into his presence today. Gracious and holy God, we thank you in this day for making yourself known to us. We ask, O God, in this time and in this place that you would guide our feet, that we might always be walking towards you. And if we find ourselves walking away today, turn us around. Turn us around that we might come into your presence, come into your way of being, come to be with you once more. Make us one with you. Give us hearts that long for you. As you listen to our hearts today, may they be set on you. In Jesus' name, amen.